Can you see up here?
The Schutz voter pass fee that you've already passed out was a total of $382,000 of expected revenue from the voter pass fee charged to anybody who does a day trip on the Schutz River.
And what is the fee? Is that like if you did the same?
$1.75 a day.
Per person per day, or $12 for an annual pass per person.
And is there a limitation on the amount of people that, I'm using this as yardstick, as comparing it against like the lower road?
There's no limitation at this point. One of the major items of discussion is whether or not there should be some form of limited access on the river, whether that be jet boaters from the bottom coming up the lower stretch, or whether there should be some restricted access along the private property in and reservation property on the upper section of the river. The river is really in three rough segments. The upper part, that's either private or warm springs, where and those folks are interested in controlled access. The middle part, which is basically the high day use part of the river, with a lot of access points and a tremendous amount of volume. And then the lower part, which again is a more controlled point, where basically you either float it or jet up it from the bottom. So the river's in three almost identifiable segments. The question is, how are we going to deal with those, and what's going to be the final recommendation? Is there going to be limited access on part of those, or is there not going to be limited access? Right now, everybody who spends a day on that river spends $1.75, or they have an annual permit. That money generates, they predict, $382,000 the next biennium. In that $382,000, they have about $153,500 dedicated to either acquisition or development of sites along the river. And a couple of those, and John, you'll have to, my memory failed me on which ones you were talking about, a couple of those may not happen this biennium. So there could be money available within that voter pass fee. And what I would suggest is that you take a look at capturing maybe $45,000 of that $382,000 for the purposes of conducting this study.
Okay, now,
did that long answer get to your question?
Well, we're getting there. I don't have some of the information you're working from, so it's hard to look at these numbers.
I don't know.
My next question then is...
That's the current breakdown on the voter pass fee.
Land. Okay.
And that's their rough suggestion of the cost of... that's where they got to the 83.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, are we really going to achieve the planning? Because I think this whole thing, as you talk about reducing 83.5 down to 45, then are you really going to achieve your planning that you hope to achieve? Because it isn't going to do any good to tell these people to go out and plan something and not give them adequate funds unless they go out and do it with.
What?
You're just kidding yourself, and you're kidding the people in the fact that you're trying to achieve something that's not going to ever be achievable.
I guess my question, I would answer with a question to the department. They had every intention of doing a management plan on the river.
At what point?
In the next 2 years. That was part of their plan.
Was that in their budget?
Yes, supposedly it was.
And it was already funded?
Well, they were going to do it. And my question to them, and maybe they'd like to respond, is that they were going to do it more low-key. And I assume then that the entire $83,000 are generated strictly because there's now an advisory committee that they have to deal with, in addition to what they were going to do in-house for a management plan. Frankly, I don't think that washes. If you're going to do a management plan, and if you were going to do a reasonable one, and you were going to contact all the parties that are involved in that, the landowners, the users, BLM, the state, the federal government, the counties involved, it's going to take some staff time. And it seems to me that ought to be the same staff time that would be working closely with the advisory committee. And it seems to me reasonable if the department had expected to do a management plan, then if that plan was going to be a reasonable attempt, that they have resources within their budget right now to dedicate to working with an advisory committee, and we could provide the additional cost for the advisory committee. And if you notice on that sheet, Senator Hannon, there's only $8,000. See, what is it? About
82.75.
for the committee itself, you're talking about $8,200 in per diem expenses for the committee, and the rest of it is all supplies and stuff, and you can't tell me that it's going to take roughly $74,000 to staff a committee in addition to what they were going to do with the management plan anyway.
Well, I don't know why we should give them more than the $8,275, so let's hear from the department division.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Lilly. I'm the Assistant Administrator of the Parks Division in charge of Scenic Waterways Program, and have been involved in this Deschutes Voter Pass program since 1980 when the governor set up the first task force, which resulted in the formation of the Voter Pass program, which was passed in the 1981 session. I would say that the characterization that the division is against the bill as presented is true to some extent. It's kind of a form over substance kind of issue. We support the idea of doing a management plan, vehemently support it. We're also supportive of citizen involvement. We have an existing Governor's Scenic Waterway Advisory Committee. The issue that we differ on between the sponsor of the bill and what we plan to do is the creation of a permanent standing advisory committee and to do this effort.
How about a four-year sunset?
Specifically for the Deschutes.
How about a four-year sunset?
At one time, we indicated that a sunset provision in this bill would might be appropriate. I have not checked that out with my commission.
I took the liberty of checking with the chairman of the Transportation Commission, and that four-year sunset is there specifically at his request, and he said if we did that, he wouldn't have that much problem with the bill.
Does that change your attitude a little?
It certainly does. We'll need to.
Okay.
No, up until this moment, you understand
yes,
that
understand.
We had not known that that was an option.
Right. Okay.
As long as we're in session, anything is an option.
Okay. To the fiscal issue.
Okay.
It is true that we intended to do a management plan. And we have a certain amount of money in the existing budget. And at the time that we spoke of a management plan, it was to be, as Representative Faubusch identified, a low-key effort using the current resources we have. Keep in mind that our budget, as you know, is an expenditure limitation budget. We have other funds expenditure limitation, general fund, federal funds, etc.
Mm-hmm.
As we got into this process, it became apparent that the kinds of direction that we were hoping from the legislature in terms of setting use levels and development levels wasn't going to happen. Seeing that what we have today is a much more complex plan than what we originally anticipated, we see a need for full-time staff to staff the committee, to work with the many other agencies that are involved in the user groups. This is not an easy process. Had it been easy, I'm sure that a management plan would have been hammered out on the Deschutes years ago.
So over the biennium, there's 11 two-day meetings, and for that you need a full-time person to staff it.
And write the plan.
And you maybe need the staff person to hand-run the advisory committee as much as possible, maybe. Okay. I don't know where to go with this.
Let's just go.
Well, let's just give them, well, what would they do? What would you do? We just gave $8,275 for the per diem of the advisory committee and asked you to absorb the cost of it. What would you do?
Mr. Chairman, we wouldn't be able to do that with existing resources.
You just refuse to do it, even if we told you to do it.
Well, we have a currently adopted and signed governor's budget, which sets our priorities at this point.
Oh.
We would be able to do to do the low-key approach like we've talked about using our existing Scenic Waterway Advisory Committee.
You understand that the latest bill to pass has priority over any prior bill.
Uh-huh.
I think to just interrupt, we would fall back and check with the chairman of the commission and see how we can get that job done. If you tell us to do it, we're going to do it the best we can. We understand that,
Mr. Chairman.
But I'd like a little time to check that out.
Maybe a day. Representative Faubusch.
Could we ask on that voter pass fee, John and I went over that, and I don't want to misspeak myself, but just what is the availability, John, within that $382,000?
Okay, Representative Fawbush mentioned that there's $153,500 identified for acquisition and development in next biennium. There are some projects there that require either acquisition or agreement from another entity. In this case, the Warm Springs Confederated Tribes or the Bureau of Land Management. Two of those projects are the Harpam Flat improvements for $53,000 and the Sandy Beach improvements for $25,500. Sandy Beach is a property owned by the tribes. At this point, they have not indicated that they're interested in moving with that project and may not do so, I imagine, until they're sure what the management plan is going to look like. The Harpam Flat improvements are monies that would be passed through to the BLM to assist them in developing a piece of private property that we're hoping that they would be able to acquire within the next 2 years. As yet, they've not been able to sew up that acquisition. And finally, the Warm Springs acquisition at $25,000 is a piece of property adjacent to the highway bridge on Highway 26 at Warm Springs, and we've been interested in purchasing that property for some time and hope to make a purchase within the next biennium.
What's the time schedule on the Harpam Flat?
Well, we'd anticipated, up until now, we were hoping to do it in this biennium, but BLM is having trouble with the acquisition.
Well, Representative Jones.
Just a few questions so that I ensure that I know what I'm thinking about. The Fish and Wildlife owns this land. They purchased that last station or two stations ago, whenever it was. Is that right?
Part of it, a small part down at the Yamal.
Then who owns the rest of it? It's all
Bureau of Land Management, some private, basically it's BLM, and some private.
But now you have been designated the department to manage the whole thing, BLM and all.
There's basically yes. As a result of those issues with the past system that you
right, but what I'm hearing here is that the. Yeah, this group that's being this management group that's being created under this bill then would be involved in the management. I mean, you are talking about limited access to protect some areas that are getting overused, apparently. Is that right? And then they're saying they don't want limited access. They just want it to. They just want to turn loose. That's what I've been informed anyway.
There are
now
two different schools.
Right. These are critical things. You people have been told to run it, manage it, do whatever is necessary to do it. Now then, if the group's going to come in and tell you that isn't the way to do it, and that they don't want limited access, then you've got to have some more money to protect the very banks that you're talking about protecting through limited access. Isn't that a fair statement?
Yes, sir.
Do we have a similar situation like this today, Representative Fawbush, that we're, you know, we've delegated the Parks Division to manage this river, and it's owned by some private, some BLM, and some Fish and Wildlife. Do we have a like situation where there is a management group that tells them, that helps tell them how to run it?
They have a scenic waterways committee that supposedly works with all of the waterway rivers. But I don't think any of the rivers are to the point of development and discussion as the Deschutes is at this point. I don't think, is it? I mean,
early days in the Rogue.
The Rogue River.
The Rogue River, but the Rogue River is basically a decided issue. That's set up and managed, and it's got a plan. And it's on its way.
But Mr. Chairman, isn't the Owyhee part of that in the Scenic River system?
Yes, sir.
It's managed by who?
By the BLM. Yes, sir.
The Attorney General's office informs us that the law as before the committee would be the committee would be advisory only, would not have authority.
Yeah, that's right.
To make decisions or require decisions to be made that would be advisory in the same sense that we do have other advisory committees and statutes.
We're not delegating executive authority to a committee, no.
We originally used Chairman Representative Jones, the original draft of the bill was to set up basically a commission to run the shoots. And I was very interested in that because I think the shoots is that valuable from a resource. But we deferred the strong objections of the department to let them have final management say over that. All we're asking is that they make, frankly, I think they're going to make the job a little bit easier, and it's going to, and hopefully it will finish the legislative discussion of that, because every session for the last three or four sessions, we've had the Deschutes as a topic of discussion because the parties involved couldn't get along outside of this body, and we've had to mediate. And I think we're making a mistake if we expect to develop a management plan that doesn't have those parties involved.
Yeah, for sure. This is true.
We're going to have this later.
Just what has been discussed here, advisory only, and we've got two issues that we're at odds with before we even start, and that's from a limited ended standpoint. Now, if they're going to recommend to you that you not have limited entry, then who's going to have the final say as to whether you have limited entry or not? And if you still have it, then the question is whether you need the advisory committee.
I think they need the advisory committee because those are the people, if they're not satisfied, they're going to be back in the legislature again asking us to redo it.
Kenzie Nofziger would like to say something. She's a proponent of the bill.
Thank you.
She's a citizen of the state.
As far as limited entry is concerned, there is a statement in the bill that allows for the possibility of future limited entry. And we do have very much at heart the health of the river, the ecological health of the river. At such point as it would be determined that other management techniques were not working to help the river preserve its ecological health, we would even recommend a limited entry system.
That's a little different than the testimony you gave me at my office. But,
well, not exactly. And the other thing that, while I have the floor, the other thing that I would like to mention too is that those of us who designed the bill, I don't think would agree totally with the sunset provision. We would go for maybe sunset review, but.
That was my invention, and if they did not sign off on it, that would be agreement between myself and the transportation chair.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fulbush has been around a while. Knows that they have, the sunsets do have their place.
Yes.
It was,
well, it seems to, it might have changed the mind of the department here.
Well, I'd hope that it would work some persuasion, but
well, the word would have to filter.
Maybe we'll have to take it back off. I'm not sure it was worth the.
I think you could leave it on with the provision in there that you did have some other means of, like you were talking about a Scenic Waterways Commission or something of that nature.
I think, Pansy, that discussion, we will be driven to that eventually, because I think we're going to find not only the Parks Division, but ourselves are going to find that these scenic waterways are going to be major points of discussion, tied up in the whole water issue, and the way we use those for the recreational value and how we get the maximum dollars out of them, whether it be tourism or farming or whatever, that's going to be a more central issue. And I think by 4 years from now, they're going to be clamoring for some strong, unified approach.
Thank you. Well, anyway, this is just a little Ways and Means subcommittee. Can't deal with those great big policy issues. But I just haven't been persuaded that we need to more than $8,275. Yes.
If I may. I've done enough to them. Maybe try to speak maybe for them for a minute.
Well, you already did.
I think your analyst has posed the question fairly accurately. And he's saying, just instead of trying to beat blood out of turnip, giving them the benefit of the doubt, I know there's some resources there that they can bring to bear on it.
I'm sure there are.
The question is, if we really want a plan that is meaningful and that really does cover the ground. It will take some work. It will take some staff work. And I guess I would recommend, I would suggest that if you were to look at a $45,000 appropriation out of the quarter pass fee. I know.
Representative Jones, you were on a subcommittee that went through the whole budget and then bought projects with that money, right?
We did. We only spent it.
Well, they want to end run another sub, huh? Wayne?
I wouldn't call it an end run. I would call it a proactive consultation.
Well, how about, I'll tell you what, Wayne, I'll just run the subcommittee for today. I'm going to ask you to think real hard about whether you need any more money than $8,000 and go talk to the chair of the Transportation Committee and come on down. We'll just carry this thing over till tomorrow. Because the reason it's down here is because of a big, ugly fiscal impact statement. You didn't like the bill in the first place. Now you might have reasons to have changed your mind. I want to know, though, if you'd just sort of kill the program if we didn't give you any money, so that's the only reason I'd be interested in any at all. So, hearing adjourned.
Public Safety of the Joint Ways and Means Committee meeting, May 27, 1987, 1:30 p.m., room H174.
Public Safety Subcommittee will come to order. Open work session in Hospital 3381. And please join us if you wish, department. And we'll proceed then through LFO recommendations, Mr. Weeks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe we're just taking off from your last decision to establish separate limitations, and following on that decision, we've got two suggested program limitations here before you, one for insurance and one for financial institutions. A third has already been resolved, and that is the workers' comp board. I mentioned that to you. So that if you were going to have limits then for all the program areas, you'd have three more remaining: workers' comp, APD, and the administration of the department as a whole. Those three will come to you as soon as that workers' comp budget is finished, probably Tuesday, we hope, and we can resolve that.
And that is in Senator Trost's subcommittee. They'll be dealing with the numbers for workers' comp board, workers' comp division, and accident prevention division.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jones.
We heard part of the board.
It would be the chair's wish to finish our work on this budget, save for those limitation numbers that would come to us from Senator Trost's subcommittee, and then to move the bill to full committee.
Just wait for the numbers to be finalized.
Yeah. The thing is, issues in this budget keep kind of coming out, kind of wanting to put the lid on a lot of them.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I've given you a legal size sheet, which is, as I mentioned, describes insurance regulation, financial institutions regulation, program limits. This information, as far as the governor's revised column, comes from the blue book that we've worked with over the last two or three days. And I've compared that blue book, those blue book recommendations, with what we believe are reasonable adjustments to the blue book here, and let me go through just quickly. Under insurance regulation, you start with the governor's printed budget of $6.4 million. The department has, through reorganization, recommended the elimination of two positions. One is the exec assistant B and the other is a manager B. We would concur in that. They have asked you to add a clerical specialist position, which is really a cashier's position. The fact that it's not here doesn't mean that we don't concur in the need for that, but we think it probably more appropriately belongs in the administrative services division. So we would add it to that when you get to that point. We'd add both the cost of the position and service and supplies to cover the position. So we'll deal with that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
We,
well then, Mr. Chairman.
Reverend Jones.
It'll be in, Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, when you get the limitation for admin services, that position will be there. We'll show it there.
Okay.
The reduction in service and supplies is a reduction that relates to the two positions that are deleted. If you delete positions, we feel like you ought to delete some S&S, because in other places in this recommended governor's budget, when positions were added, we added S&S. So both parts ought to occur. There's a PERS recalculation on the overall personal services of over $10,000, and some decision package adjustments that we made. Those decision package adjustments are capital outlay that related to the old replacement of the Prime system, PERS adjustments, and some telecommunication hookups that related to the replacement of the Prime system. So those we took out also. ASSD charges, the difference between the governor's revised column and what you see as LFO rec is that we started with the governor's printed budget. If you're going to use the governor's printed budget as your base, we thought you ought to take out the ASSD charges that are in the governor's printed budget. So we have some difference there. In total, you've got LFO recommendation of $5.8 million, 27 FTE compared to 28. And again, the difference in the FTE is the one cashier's position, which will reappear in administrative services next week when we present that to you. Happy to answer any questions about this portion of the recommendation, Mr. Chairman. Remember.
Department.
We agree with the Gary's analysis. We hadn't seen the exact dollar figures before, so.
The logic of the adjustments then makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And to move along, Mr. Chairman, in financial institutions, again, we've compared what's in the blue book with our own recommendations. There are 17 positions deleted in the governor's revised program. Four positions are added. Now, the first difference we have is in the addition of the four FTE. One of those that's added back is an examiner position in the credit union area, I believe. And what the department has said is that we want to add the limit and have the position authority, but we don't intend to fill the position until it appears there's a workload that warrants the addition of another position. Our suggestion to you is that you leave position authority but withdraw the funding. It'd be unusual to fund a position that you know you're not going to fill for some time. In the case of other agencies, we'd ask them to come back when it's clear that they have the workload and the revenue to support the position. I think that's this recommendation is consistent with that policy. Then you have a reclass in the deputy, or to a deputy, which in effect is to take one of the supervising exam managers and make he or she into a deputy in this department, which at present doesn't have a deputy. And there's a cost of over $4,000 to do that. The difference in the ASSD charges, again, is reflected in the fact that we began with the governor's original budget recommendation, and the department started with something less than that, so we have some difference there. Service supplies is the same. Capital outlay, we're not recommending the capital outlay that is in the program. I believe it's in there in order to make the blue book figures balance with what the original task force report on financial institutions came out with, balance with that number, and that didn't seem to be reason enough to plug it in here. That may be a point that you'd want to discuss with the department. The collection agency transfer, these are the costs largely or almost wholly S&S service costs that would come into the new department because they're assuming the responsibility for collection agencies and debt consolidation and so on. That was formally done by the associated boards. And then there's ASSD charge reduction for those collection agency and debt consolidation services. The PERS adjustment, decision package adjustments, and adding the pawnbroker's costs. Pawnbrokers were not in the blue book figures. The cost is expected to be around $7,000, so we bumped those back in there. The difference then in FTE is 15 from the governor's revised recommendation. Those 15 are 1, an examiner 3 for the credit unions that we're recommending you not fill, and 14 positions that relate to anticipated legislation, something that's not passed yet, but at some point may before this session is over, in which case we believe the department ought to come back to you with a specific request for funding for whatever legislation occurs.
Department.
The capital outlay request was for portable personal computers for the bank examiners to use when they're out on examinations. And that was a recommendation that was included in the Financial Institutions Division Task Force report on the basis that it would increase their productivity to have these tools available for examinations. So we feel like that would be something that should be considered to be added back.
And what kind of portable computer would it be?
Yeah. Kind of Representative Jones have?
Mine don't cost this much, but it does.
No, but
a couple of those.
Depends on which end of the stick you're on.
That provides for the appointment of board members is not amended in any way by this bill, so that the appointment of the board members continues to be by the governor.
Okay. But
well,
Senator Wires,
I think Senator Wires raises a very valid point. You have to discern there who is clearly the appointing authority. Yes, I think that we do run a serious problem here. Although the workers' compensation statutes are not being amended, we are moving workers' compensation board over to finance and insurance. And it should be clearly stated who's going to make the appointment. Just the same as the banking board, just the same as these other positions.
This specific one you're raising, well, you're raising generally then for all positions?
No.
For, okay.
We just for clearly dealt with in Section 51, the issue of the banking board.
Okay.
Being appointed by the governor, the Senate confirmation. I think Senator Wires asked a very legitimate point here about who's going to appoint the director of the Workers' Compensation Department, and is it in fact going to be confirmed as is under the Senate? Under what I read here in this language, you're allowing the director, now the insurance and the finance section, to appoint the director of workers' comp.
That is correct. That's exactly correct.
And I think that's a very valid point he has.
Okay. That issue we will have to deal with at the time when we bring this budget back to put the workers' comp numbers in. We will deal with the issue. It would be unfair to do it without participation from Mr. Long.
Yeah, but
we've got
fine.
Two senators. That's certainly a Senate issue. I'm concerned about that. So please alert Mr. Long to that fact.
I believe that it's included in this bill as you want it, but I can't find the language right now.
Wait,
so we
what,
will
when you say as you want, what does that mean?
That the appointing authority of the board does not change.
Yes.
And
I
believe that's the point you were making.
Well, then there's the question then of Senate confirmation of the director of workers' comp. Which
the
we
director
know.
Is changed because it would be appointed by the new director administrator of this finance insurance.
Yeah, that
department.
Would be a change. That's
the question Senator Wires asked.
Are you going to be able to come back? Because I try to.
Yeah, hang on.
Okay. That's a biggie.
Yeah, I do.
And let me see if I can. Is it correct that there was some kind of message sent from the Senate to the governor about the status of the incumbent? Or was that unofficial?
I don't know how official it was, but I know there were some discussions about it.
Was it the lack of 16 votes?
There were some discussions about that.
I see. Well, that's a serious issue.
But aside from that, even that, it's just this is one of the biggest jobs in state government. think the Senate confirmation power to mean anything. This is one that ought to be considered. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I found the language. It's in Section 40. It says the Workers' Comp Board, composed of three members appointed by the governor, is created within the department.
What page is that?
It's on page 21, right at the bottom of the page. So those, the appointments of those board members do not change.
Mm-hmm.
The Workers' Comp program, however, that's a separate issue because that isn't a statutory division any longer with a statutory officer in charge of them.
Yes, I see. Yes. What's this language here in Section 41? Taking... What is this? Why are you taking the director out of these requirements?
What section?
I'm reading Section 41 on page 22 of the bill just because I happened to turn to it. And this is interesting. Allowing... By taking director out, then I presume the inference is that the director could hold an office or other position of profit, pursue other businesses?
No.
What does it mean?
Mr. Chairman, there's other language in this bill that talks about what the heads of each of the divisions may or may not do. Isn't that correct, John?
They support the Constitution and everything still?
No. I'm not sure it says that.
Well...
It's
just in taking it out, it seems unusual. Because you read it then the negative, you could go, oh, the director doesn't have to support the Constitution. The director can hold another office or position or profit.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
For the record, I'm Mary Alice Hammond. I work for Stan Long, and maybe I can try to shed some light on this issue. As part of the administrative flexibility of this new department, in order to allow the maximum flexibility, there are no statutory divisions within the department. So the Workers' Compensation Department is abolished as a department or a division, as is the position of the director of that department as a statutorily created position. If you look at Section 4 of the bill, it authorizes the director of the Department of Insurance and Finance to organize and reorganize the department as the director sees fit, in order to accomplish the functions that need to be carried out in the department. If you remember the chart that we had up on the wall on the first day, the organization structure will be that there are the five divisions within the department, mm-hmm. but those are not set in statute, nor are the positions of the administrators of those divisions. The Section 4 authorizes the director to appoint administrative heads of those departments with the approval of the governor.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the top of page, and the reason, the section that you're just looking at, the reason the word director is eliminated is because the position of the director of workers' compensation has been eliminated. So there's no one to whom that applies. On the top of page 17, in sections dealing with workers' compensation, in the statutes dealing with workers' compensation, you'll see that the definition of the word director in those statutes has changed to be the director of the Department of Insurance and Finance, since that is the only statutorily created position, and since that's where the statutory responsibility will lie. The administrators that can be appointed under Section 4 assume whatever responsibility that the new director would delegate to them.
Then what you're saying is the new director of the Finance and Insurance Section is going to be the director of Workers' Compensation, the director of Insurance and Finance Section and everything.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, statutorily the responsibility, the ultimate accountability and responsibility for all of those programs will rest in the director of the Department of Insurance and Finance. And that's part of the governor's objective in creating this department is to bring that accountability into one person. The authority exists under Section 4 for the director to appoint administrative heads of the various programs within the department and to delegate as much of the responsibility as the director sees fit to those persons, but the ultimate accountability is in that one person.
Which is subject to Senate confirmation.
Right.
Send wires.
Then we can, the director can appoint
whoever.
Loaners from here and there, as is happening in economic development, if he so chooses, or she later,
mm-hmm.
but for the immediate time he so chooses. And those people may or may not have other business activities because there's no statutory reference to them at all. So the statutory demand or mandate, you might say, that whoever does that be full time, which we remember we had a big fight about that with a prior director of workers' comp.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Waters, I'm looking for it and I can't find it real quickly, partly because I'm not wearing my glasses. But there is a section in here that sets up very specific prohibitions on what the employees of this department can do. And the managers of this department, and I'm looking for it, but I can't spot it immediately. But I'm convinced that your concerns are addressed by this bill. It can't be just anyone doing any of the things.
That is a concern, Senator Hannon.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, I believe it was just this week that the Senate passed a bill dealing with former PUCs and insurance commissioners and prohibition on going back into employment. But yet you're creating another loophole here to bring people in on short term, use them, and then they go right back to whatever they were doing previously, and that's fine. There's no public perception on that there's a conflict of interest. But somehow there's going to be a conflict of interest, or I don't know, part of the public's perception that the person comes in and spends 4 years of their life regulating the agency and then goes back to a business that's regulated by that public utility commissioner. That's a conflict of interest. But they can come in and serve the government for 6 months in that same capacity in a different regulatory function and leave and go back to their old job. That's not a conflict of interest. That's a good definitional phrase.
Well, nothing in this bill changes our ethics laws and other chapters of Oregon law. And you raise a very interesting topic that I don't want to step into any further.
Oh, come on.
In view of what
well,
in fact is happening,
question,
Senator
may
Waters.
Let me move things along in my own mind. This I see is came from the House Committee on Labor. Is it has it gone by the Senate Committee on Labor? Or?
No, and it likely wouldn't because of the lack of time. What I suggest happen is that both of you in the Senate talk with your colleagues a little bit and make sure that they understand this bill says no more separate worker compensation department, not even a division, no more Senate confirmation of a position that close to it. Replacing that, you have accountability vested in the director of insurance and finance, who also I think retained the title of insurance commissioner. Subject, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, that position is subject to Senate confirmation.
They need to understand that, though, I think. We need to know that, probably.
That's right.
I think so. If you wouldn't mind taking that burden on, and maybe talk to somebody with the presiding officer over there.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. That'd be good.
Because I think it raises a point. It's been an ongoing problem for a long time, though, on positions in the Senate.
Take her in a sense of real concern.
Could we ask that that Mr. Weeks do some preliminary inquiries about how the language would be changed, not to all the way of a draft, but sort of
to keep workers' comp is the issue, not the other
to keep
any other position.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Waters, to keep the workers' comp director as
appointed by the governor, subject to confirmation.
Surely,
I think that would be a little. I don't think that necessarily would have to disrupt totally the governor's proposal here, because we know from the senior business development officers that the governor's going to be involved in choosing and appointing them. even though they're going to be under the director of the Department of Economic Development. So I don't think that, since that is his proposal and his plan, I don't think that to have that same thing here would necessarily disrupt the, whoever is the head of this department's ability to supervise up there.
Representative John.
I think that it also would be possible to put an arbitrary standing restriction at the bottom and do whatever you want to do.
The old notwithstanding is certainly getting you worked out this session. Okay, that we have a fairly major issue developed Senate side that we'll have to.
I think it's resolvable. Though.
I think it's resolvable.
Sure.
Everything, yes, we've worked all that out. Well, are we ready now at this point to conceptually agree to
everything except that one point?
Okay, so we're agreeing to the language that's been discussed, but subject to our reviewing the final amendments and the budget report. We have one outstanding issue with respect to Senate confirmation of workers' comp.
We have a position. We've already discussed the fee.
Yes.
And settled on those of the $6.
$6.
As far as the insurance is concerned. The other banking fee then is still within there.
Now, Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, there isn't any intent to increase the banking fees in this budget. It's supposed to fly with the fees as they're stated now.
The action we took with the insurance agent fees was understood to manage a current problem. There was a risk that the department may be back to the emergency board and ask for more.
Mr. Chairman, I would move we adopt all the recommendations minus the one issue to be resolved.
Any objection to Senator Hannon's motion? Hearing none. Okay. So ordered. Let's close this work session, and then could we open up, is it all right with the committee to stay span about 10 minutes on the shoots?
Commitment. What do you have to do?
I think just here from fiscal and the department, there's been some negotiations and we may be able to move it out, or we can come back tomorrow. What do you think?
Has a recent agreement?
Let's find out before I do anything.
I don't think it's controversial.
Mr. Chairman, there's still a question, and I think the question is coming closer to
what if it was cooked for another day, and we can resolve it tomorrow?
I'm not even sure another day of cooking is going to help.
Okay.
We don't
need Wayne. Okay. No more. He had plenty, didn't he? Darn near lost the whole subcommittee to Representative Fobush. Close. Proponents don't want me to wait till tomorrow, do you?
No.
Department?
Sure.
Okay. Open work session on whatever it is. How's about
3019?
Okay. Go.
Mr. Chairman, the issue here is really one of the fiscal impact to provide Parks and Recreation Department support to the Deschutes River Management Committee. The department presented a fiscal impact statement that totaled $83,000 for the 87-89 biennium. There's been a question as to whether or not all of those expenses are absolutely required or whether any portion can be absorbed within the budget. Basically, we're dealing with Boater Pass monies, which are about, if memory serves me right, $380,000, I believe, for the biennium. The Committee on Transportation approved a budget for the Parks and Recreation Division that basically expended all of those funds, a portion for management of the river, paying for the cleaning of the restrooms and the access sites, a portion for enforcement, buying state police cadet services to patrol the river, and a portion for site acquisition and site development. And fully budgeted all of the funds that we expect to be available. There is one minor element at the side, which is that we're dealing with a very low water year this year, and the Deschutes River may be the only river that has any water in it. We may see some increase in past usage of that river this summer to increase the amount of revenue projected to be received, but that's simply an aside. The issue really boils down to one, that there are most definitely going to be some extraordinary costs to support this 9-member committee, which by the law receives a per diem and is allowed other meeting expense. There's going to be an expense to that. The department estimated, I believe, $8,000, $8,200. I believe actually that estimate is probably low. It may be close, but I believe if anything, it's likely to be on the low side. There are some other expenses that deal with graphics, printing, postage, all of those kinds of things, which I think we can argue about the relative amounts, but there are definitely some there. We would see fixed additional costs to doing this study, simply providing the compensation to the committee and providing the necessary S&S of about $25,000 total. The issue then comes to the department staff to assist the committee. The department currently has 1.5 FTEs in its river program. The department within that 1.5 FTE had earlier anticipated doing a management plan on the Deschutes River. Yesterday as described to you as a low-key effort. What has changed since their plan to absorb those particular costs within their budgeted staff is the fact that the current law with regard to how management of the Deschutes ought to be accomplished, which is basically from the start setting aside the concept that there would be any limited access. And I believe the current law does that. The current law says that the river's there for all to enjoy, and in order to keep it that way, we'll charge a use pass fee of this $1.75 a day, which are the monies we're talking about. The issue that came before the legislature this session was that ever since use of the river has grown, there have been some proponents of the concept of actually limiting access onto that river, saying that there's a carrying capacity that it has, and there ought not be any more than that. We ought to have a lottery system or anything, something to hold down the numbers of people using it to that number. There was a bill introduced this session that would have done that. This bill, as you'll remember yesterday, is really the compromise of those two positions, but it basically defers that decision, giving some additional direction along the lines of the current law, which says that limited access is really a court of last resort. If all other management methods of saving the river fail, then we can consider these others. But it doesn't continue to completely set aside the possibility that that's there. So what you've got is this process of trying to develop a management plan thrown to the committee, served by the department, and ultimately regulated by rule authority of the department. And the question is, can this process be accommodated with a half-time or less FTE staff, or is it really going to take a full body there all the time to do it?
Does that mean add 0.5 FTE to what they have?
My expectation is that if it's going to take less than a half-time FTE, it could likely be absorbed within the 1.5 that they had and within the low-key concept that it may be a little more than they had in mind, but still absorbable without doing horrendous damage to the rest of the program. If the expectation of the proponents are that this is going to be a major dispute resolution process and a very major activity, not only involved their own time, but in the support service that they request and ultimately throw back at the department, then we're dealing with the necessity to create an additional FTE and to divert some additional amounts of these boater pass monies into the FTE. The point that I think our discussions last reached was that there was a feeling on the part of the proponents of the measure that they were perhaps closer to resolution than maybe the department felt might be the case, and that their efforts could be supported by the existing staff of the agency, and that if this proved not to be the case, and that if additional efforts were required, that they would then approach the emergency board for position authority, either contractual or full-time position authority, to support the committee. And this again would come out of diversion of improvement funds of the Boulder Pass money. So it would be basically those individuals on the committee who have an interest also in the utilization of those funds, seeing that their activities had reached a point, as well as the department recognizing that, that their demands had reached a point that they couldn't satisfy, that that the additional staff would be provided.
Okay, so what's your recommendation? I have an appointment.
Well, sounds like to me the department's going to make sure that some that a conflict arises at that time. We might as well budget a little bit for it. You know, there's a up front rather than at the back door at the e-board. So I guess I'd recommend we put in, you know, authorization for the position, and what would that cost? And go ahead and appropriate the money too? Or authorize, we don't have to authorize it because it's...
Mr. Chairman, the monies are already fully budgeted.
Yeah.
The question then remains one that whether or not you want to identify in 3019 the amounts of monies previously budgeted and collected from the Boulder Pass money mm-hmm. that would be dedicated to this particular use function.
To dedicate some how much? It's $25,000 you mentioned and just plain support. So
$25,000 would be peer support. It would take, in my estimation, about $78,000
total
to provide the total support, including the FTE position.
So they were asking 85 yesterday.
83.
That's the best you could do then, LFO.
Well, Mr. Chairman, understand that clearly what we're talking about here is an expectation. We have a department that fears a great deal of staff is going to be required
right.
and that they cannot absorb it. We concur that they can't absorb a major effort.
Exactly.
Mr. Chairman, they have the Boulder Pass program, which they have control over within their budget. I would recommend that if you see fit, authorize the position, let them have the flexibility to find that money within the Boulder Pass program as they can. If that's possible, they could maybe ratchet down the costs as they go, as they see what the study. At this point, I think all we would ask is one position and let them eat it as they can.
All right.
And then, no, but I'd say what the 45 figure come out then as compared to this 83.
It could come out no higher than 78,000.
If you keep it at 78,000 or 1,000 or lower, if possible.
We unschedule it as well. No.
We could do that, Mr. Chairman. No, we can't. That way they can. They can go ahead and use that money on improvements, and if they don't use it all on the position, on this program.
I think we better give the department that kind of flexibility, because I think there will come a time, probably not too far off, when the issue will come to head. And Representative Fabusch was pretty clear that in 4 years he was looking toward a commission-type resolution, given the importance of this waterway to the state.
Well, is this going to leave the board the flexibility to ask to come to the board if the agency is cranking them down too tight, not giving them enough support?
The executive department would control access to the emergency board if we took this action. And I think the executive department understands that the resources would be available
to the department
to the department for a position
to fulfill the requirements of this bill. That's right.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion to accept the LFO recommendation of 78,000 then and direct the department and exec that if there is a point later on into the biennium that it appears that this is not going to fulfill, then they would at least have the reason to come back to the emergency board for some type of either possibly a report and funding or whatever.
Okay, and the manner in which that these monies would be available to the department are as described by executive.
Within the voter pass program as they are able to handle it.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, before you move those, there are two other amendments. One is there's a technical amendment that the definition of the Deschutes River that's in the bill is the existing scenic Deschutes. There's a bill that's passed both houses now that expanded that, and the part of the Deschutes River that's under discussion here is the old scenic Deschutes, and there's language that I have available that will define it as the old scenic Deschutes, not the expanded. And then there was the question.
Okay, add it up to his motion.
Then
okay.
There was a question of the 4-year sunset that Representative Fawbush brought up.
That was in his motion, too.
Move that.
Okay, anybody disagree or oppose?
That sunset made it so I can support it.
Excellent. Okay. Adopted.
Move around as amended.
Senator Hennen moves. House Bill 3019, as further amended by the subcommittee, be reported to the full committee with the best recommendation and opposition. Hearing none.